The reading this morning is from John 15, verse 26 through to 16, verse 15. So John 15, verse 26. When the Counselor comes, whom I shall send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. But you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he's offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Now I'm going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from me what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. This is the word of God.
Thanks, Rosemary. Good morning again, everyone. Often wonder who's going to be here on a long weekend, but you are, so that's really good. How about we just pray and look at this great passage of Scripture together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you are a speaking God. You're a God who actually reveals yourself to us. You reveal yourself to us in creation. It sings of your glory and your beauty and your creativity and wonder. You've spoken to us through the prophets of old, but most clearly you've spoken to us through your Son, Jesus. But you've done even more than that. You've actually sent us your Holy Spirit who dwells within us, who can be our teacher, our advocate, our counsellor, the one who helps us to see Jesus, to understand him, to follow him, helps Jesus to become real to us. So, Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll do that good work in us this morning. Amen. When a person's actually considering coming to faith, the Christian faith, there are a number of hurdles that often a person has to actually overcome. So sometimes there's a content hurdle. That is, they simply don't understand very much about Christianity or the gospel or about Jesus, and they just need more information to actually make a decision on. Sometimes there's a coherence issue. That is, we live in a modern scientific worldview, and the stories of the Bible can seem like fairy tales. And so sometimes people just need sort of the historical reliability of the Gospels and of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Sometimes there's a cost issue. A person might get to the point where they actually believe that Christianity is true, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he did die on the cross for our sins, and that he did rise again, but there's this lordship issue. I think most teenagers and most young adults actually go through that issue at some stage. Yes, they believe Christianity to be true, but they're weighing up the cost. But for many of us, there is another issue. There's the issue of, can I actually do this? I remember actually putting off becoming a Christian for a number of months. A friend of my church actually read through Mark's gospel with me, and I got to the point that I believed that Jesus was the Son of God, that he died on the cross, that he rose again. But I actually put off becoming a Christian because I thought there's no way I could do it. I looked at the life of Jesus. I looked at actually what it meant to actually follow Jesus. I even looked at other Christians, and I knew my brokenness, my flakiness, my fallenness, my inability to carry through on the decisions that I made. And I thought, there is no way that I could actually be a follower of Jesus. That seems to be the issue in this part of John's gospel. From John chapter 13 to chapter 17, we're in the upper room discourse. Literally, Jesus is hours away from his own death. And he's been mapping out with the disciples what it means to be a follower of him. He's talked about servanthood. He's talked about loving one another. He's talked about courage and perseverance, to be a people on mission. But he's also spoken to them about the fact that he will soon leave them. And in verse 6, he looks at the disciples and he says, "You are filled with grief because I have said these things." Jesus looks at them and he's told them that I'm about to leave. And he's told them about what sort of life that they need to actually live in order to be a disciple of him. And he says, he looks at them and they're filled with grief. You know, a lot of people have a content problem with Christianity, or a coherence problem with Christianity, but many of us actually have a capability problem with Christianity. We look at the life of Jesus and we just don't think we've got the confidence to be able to actually live the life that he's called us to live. And Jesus actually says, that's right. You don't. You can't. You can't follow me the way that you are. In verse 7, he says, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away, and unless I go away, the advocate or counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you." What Jesus is saying is that I've been present with the disciples for the past 3 years, but I'm about to go, and as a result of my going, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, who will be permanently with you. Not just with a group of disciples in one geographic location at one point in history, but with all Christians in all places around the world at all times in history. And as a result of receiving the Holy Spirit, we could live a life that we can't live by ourselves. So firstly, let's look at this passage. The Spirit is God's empowering presence. Verse 7, Jesus says, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away." Have you ever been at one of those dinner parties and somebody's asked the question, if you could be anybody in the history of the world, who would you like to be? Why don't we play that question this morning? Turn to the person, think about anybody in history who you would like to be. Who would that person be? Think about that person and share that with the person next to you. Go for it. Well, I don't know who you chose, but because I'm a pastor and because I'm preaching a sermon in front of you this morning, I'm going to say I would like to be one of the disciples. In fact, I would like to be the Apostle John, best mates with Jesus. I would have liked to have actually walked with Jesus and ate with Jesus. How cool would it have been to be able to see Jesus turning water into wine? Of him actually raising his best mate Lazarus back to life. Of him feeding the 5,000. Of him going off the chains against the Pharisees. Of hearing his teaching. Of looking at his life and looking at his grace. I'm often jealous of those disciples. I look at their life and look at their faith, and I think they're in a much better position to follow Jesus than I am. They lived with Jesus for over 3 years. They ate with Jesus. They talked with Jesus. They witnessed the life of Jesus. But Jesus actually says something radical in this passage. He actually says that you and I, as a result of the Holy Spirit, are in a much better place to see Jesus, to understand Jesus, and to follow Jesus. Verse 12, he says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. So these disciples saw Jesus, but they didn't really see Jesus. They heard Jesus, but they didn't really understand Jesus. And so Jesus says, it is for your good. It is for your good that I'm going away. And when I go away, you will receive the Holy Spirit. Now, if you question this, just look at the disciples before and after Pentecost. In your Bibles, if you jump to Acts chapter 1, in verse 4, Jesus says to the disciples, he says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that is the Holy Spirit, my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. So in verse 4, Jesus actually says, don't do anything. Don't say anything. Don't try anything. Don't go anywhere. He doesn't trust them in an inch. But then in verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. So do you see that in verse 4? He doesn't trust them in an inch. Don't do anything. Don't say anything. You can't do this. And then in verse 8, he says, you guys are actually going to change the world. What is the difference? The difference is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's power who enables us to live a life that we cannot live by ourselves. Secondly, the Spirit is the person and the presence of God pointing us to Jesus. Verse 14, he will glorify me because it's from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. So what is the goal of the Holy Spirit who now dwells in your life and mine? It is actually to glorify Jesus. What does that word glorify mean? It means weight. It means beauty. It means wonder. It means reality. Remember Moses actually asked God, he says, God, I want to see your glory. What is Moses actually asking at that point? He's asking that I want to see you, God. I want to see you for who you are. And the role of the Holy Spirit is to actually help us to be able to see Jesus and to see the glory of Jesus. In verse 7, Jesus says, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate or counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now that word advocate, in other translations, it's counselor or helper or encourager. But my translation of this word of the Holy Spirit, because I'm so good at Greek, is the advocate or counselor is your true friend. He's God's power and God's presence with you, who comes alongside of you to love you, to encourage you, to teach you, and to make Jesus glorious to you. If you go back in John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus says, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. So the first application of this is towards the apostles. This is the promise to the apostles who actually witnessed the life of Jesus. The promise here is that when they receive the Holy Spirit is going to enable them to actually remember the life of Jesus with great accuracy and truth so that we can build our life upon their teaching. But there is also an application to us, that when the Holy Spirit is actually given to us, he will actually help us understand Jesus in a way that we can't by ourselves. You know, when your child perhaps isn't doing very well in math, what do? You hire a tutor, don't you? In a sense, this tutor becomes a friend. They're normally just a few years older than your kid. They might be in late high school or early uni. And your kid who doesn't understand maths, they're just numbers and images and figures on a piece of paper. They can't make sense out of them. This tutor comes alongside of them and helps that child make sense of math. That is what the Holy Spirit does, but he does more than that. In verse 14, it says, he will glorify me. So my son, Liam, doesn't just tutor in maths, he loves maths. I don't know where he got that from. Sometimes I think we just picked up the wrong kid at the hospital, because he definitely doesn't get that from me. But he actually finds math glorious. He would do difficult math problems just as kind of a hobby, as a fun thing to do. And so when he's tutoring a kid, he's not just coming alongside of a kid. He's not just helping a kid actually understand math. He's enthusiastic about math. He loves math. He finds math actually glorious, and sometimes that actually rubs off on the kid as well, and that kid begins to love math as well too. I think that is the role of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God, the third person of the Trinity, who dwells within us. He comes alongside of us as a friend, not just to teach us about Jesus, but to actually glorify Jesus in our lives. When the disciples were with Jesus, Jesus says to them often, "You see me, but you don't see me. You hear me, but you don't understand me. You know me, but you don't really know me." But that all changed when the Holy Spirit was actually given to them. So how do we actually hear the Holy Spirit? How does he actually work in your life and my life? What are the office hours of the Holy Spirit? How do we actually hear his promptings pointing us to Jesus and teaching us about Jesus? Well, remember, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, dwells with us 24/7. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is always present with us 24/7. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is always thinking about us 24/7. So the Spirit is always present with us, yet often we are not present with the Spirit. How do we actually commune with the Spirit? Well, it's actually only a thought away. Anytime your mind gravitates towards God, anytime your mind actually thinks about a portion of a scripture, anytime your mind actually thinks about Jesus, that is actually the Spirit's work in your life. So when we come to church and we worship and we pray and we read the Bible and we hear from God's Word, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us to teach us about Jesus and glorify him in our life. When you go to life group and you're in deep community with other Christians and you open your Bible and you have fellowship and you pray, that is the Holy Spirit teaching you about Jesus and glorifying him in your life. When you find a quiet place, a place by yourself, just to open the scriptures and to pray to our God, that is the Holy Spirit teaching you about Jesus and glorifying him in your life and my life. When somebody really annoys you or hurts you or says something that is really offensive to you and you're just about to go off the chain at them and get even with them, but then you remember the words of Jesus, "Love your enemy. Enough of this, an eye for an eye. Return what this person has done to you with good and love and prayer." That is actually the Holy Spirit teaching you about Jesus and making him glorious to you in your life. When you get home this afternoon and the garbage bag is actually full, and you think, well, hopefully somebody else sees that and somebody else actually takes the garbage bag out, The Holy Spirit is whispering to you and saying, this is your Jesus moment. This is your time to actually serve your family. Take that garbage bin out and actually put it out as an expression of your love for your wife. When you have that argument with your spouse and you go over that argument and you just try to think again and again how right you are, the Holy Spirit actually whispers to you and says, the way of Jesus is humility and love and forgiveness. And so you take the first step in your relationship and you say, I'm sorry. That is the work of the Holy Spirit indwelling you, filling you, pointing you to Jesus, and making Jesus glorious to you. Verse 14, he will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to my Father is mine. That is why I have said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Again, remember that Moses says, God, I want to see you. I want to see your glory. And God says, you can't. Not to be critical of God, but he should have said, not yet. As a result of Jesus and as a result of the Holy Spirit, we can actually now see the glory of God. How do we do that? Colossians chapter 1. The Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. Hebrews chapter 1. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. What is the role of the Holy Spirit? So that we might see Jesus and his glory, that we might be overwhelmed by our love for him. And as a result of doing that, he will enable us to live a life that we cannot live by ourselves. In verse 16, Jesus went on to say, in a little while you will see me no more, but then after a little while you will see me again. What does that actually mean? Well, it means after the resurrection, the disciples actually got to see Jesus. But when Jesus actually ascended into heaven and the Holy Spirit was actually poured out on the people of God, All of us actually got to see Jesus. We touched on this last week. You know, in chapter 14, Jesus speaks about the Holy Spirit. Chapter 15, he talks about abiding in Christ. And chapter 16, he speaks about the Holy Spirit again. It seems that the Holy Spirit is the crucial person who enables us to actually abide in Jesus, and he is the one who actually transforms our lives. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul says, so I say, walk by the Spirit. Be conscious of the Spirit's work in your life. And then he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Notice what Paul doesn't say. He doesn't say, be loving, be kind, be patient. No, he says, walk in step with the Spirit. So this is my theological, mathematical equation. This is how I think it actually works. The Spirit of God comes to us and empowers us to actually live a life that we can't live by ourselves. He teaches us about Jesus and he glorifies Jesus in our life. When we see the glory and the beauty and the wonder of Jesus, our lives and our attentions are actually focused upon him. And then naturally, this fruit then begins to actually appear in our life as a result of the Spirit's work. Does that make sense to you? Be great to jump into a life group and talk about that passage again this week, because I reckon it is super, super important that we understand the Spirit's work in our lives. Allow me to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you haven't just left us alone. You haven't left us as orphans. You've given us your Son, Jesus, and he is present with us all the time, 24/7, through his Spirit. Holy Spirit, wonderful counselor, advocate, friend, helper, strengthener, the one who teaches us about Jesus and glorifies him in our lives. May we be open increasingly to your ministry in our lives, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.